If thou hast run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? We've been studying about the footmen and how they have tried to run us down. But we need to look at the horsemen that are dead set on running your children down and destroying them. Their goal is world domination. Their leaders have said by 1972, we will control the world. Did you not receive a letter from Billy Graham just before Christmas in which he said that Brezhnev says we are right on schedule to conquer the world in 1972? How many has not heard Khrushchev a few years back? When he said, we will bury you. Communism intends to control our land, to control our children, to control our homes. And they have a plan whereby they say, we will do it in 15 minutes' time. Do you realize that right now in America, there are more communists than there were when they took over Russia? Already in America, more communists than when they took over the country of Russia. And you need to see that attitude toward your children and your church and your home is quite different toward that which you have. You love your children. You want to see them brought up in a Christian home, but they're not the communists. They intend to take your children away from you. If you will not teach them about God now, the communists will take them completely away from you. Dr. W.A. Criswell, in his latest book, said that in the country of Russia, in the streets of every city, can be seen bands of little kindergarten children holding each child, holding onto the clothing of the youngster in front of him as they cross the intersection. Why were these children holding on to each other instead of their mothers? Because they were taken from their mother's laps, taken away from their mother's arms. I heard Richard Rembrandt, who has been in communist prison for 14 years in Romania. He said that in January 1968, the Russians were still taking children away from mamas and daddies for no other reason than that these mothers and daddies were teaching their boys and girls about Jesus Christ. Parents were hauled in court and told, if you do not stop teaching your children about God and about Jesus, we will take them from you. You must decide whether you'll have God or whether you'll have your children. What kind of decision would you have made? Would you have turned God down or would you have turned your children down? And they say, we intend to make atheists out of them. We intend to take all faith away from them. And as far as teaching them character and morals, they do not intend to do so. In fact, boys and girls sleep together. They have no scruples about that. The only faith, they let the boys and girls sleep together for breeding purposes. They find a nice-looking young man and a nice-looking young lady, and they breed them so that the offspring may be raised up in communist camps. And they take boys and girls 5, 10, 11, 12 years of age. They put guns in their hands, and they put them in charge of the country and say, any adult that gets in your way, you gun them down. And right now, night after night, for 30 to 40 minutes at a time, your boys and girls watch 3 or 4 murders every 30 minutes on your television program. They are right now being trained to be murderers within the next 3 or 4 years. And when the communists take them over, they won't give them toy pistols. They'll give them real guns and say, shoot down anybody that stands in your way. When they took over Red China and they executed people by the scores in the mass murder, they would take boys and girls 4 and 5 years of age, and they were on the platform when these killings took place, and they had these boys and girls a white tunic placed over their bodies, and they told them, the boy that runs out first, or the girl, and gets blood all over his tunic and comes back to the platform first, we will give you a prize. And at the crack of the pistol, when the victims fell, those little 4 and 5-year-old boys and girls ran out there, dipped their hands in their blood, and came back in order to get their prize. Ladies and gentlemen, the communists have said, we will destroy all teaching about God in your children. They don't care what happens to people above 30 years of age. They only want those under 30. They say we probably can't change those above 30, but we will take the children. They give them candy. They treat them nice. They tell them that's what Marx did for you, not Jesus. That's what communism did for you. My friend, what will you do when the communists run your children down? Not only that, in behalf of your marriage, they are not interested in you and your husband living together. Communism says when we take over America, all such thing as family life shall be destroyed. The statement by Karl Marx is as follows. The Burgos family will vanish as a matter of course when its complement capitalism vanishes, and both will vanish with the vanishing of capitalism. When they take over America, they'll separate you from your wife 1,000 or 1,500 miles away. And they say, don't worry about it, though. We will give you another woman. We'll give you another man. They have no respect for the home. When the communists take over America, there'll be no quiet evenings left at home. You'll not watch television 4 or 5 hours a night, but you'll be in concentration camps where you'll be required many times all night long. Listen to the brainwashing as they try to get you to become a communist. Listen to what they did in 1919. A Russian general by the name of Voroshilov persuaded 11,000 Tsarist officers at Kiev to surrender by promising them that if they surrendered, they, their wives, and their families would be permitted to return to their homes. When they surrendered, he executed 11,000 officers and all male children and took their wives and daughters and sent them into the brothels for the use of the Red Army. The treatment they received there was such that none lived 3 months. That's what the communists intend to do to your wives and your husbands when they take over America. But you need to see what they think about your church. No doubt every one of you realize that they deny the existence of God. They say that God does not exist. But what do they think about man? They say that man is nothing more than an animal, like a dog or a horse or a hog. And when he's dead, that's all. There's no hereafter. There's no heaven. And they say that man, only the man who is a communist, is an animal who's healthy. Anybody who is a Christian, anybody who's a capitalist, is diseased, and we must eliminate them from society. What happens when one of your hogs get cholera? You take it out and kill it. They say a Christian is diseased, a capitalist is diseased, and the only thing we can do is exterminate them from the face of the earth. What does this mean in terms of people? It meant that when they took over Russia, they had to exterminate 20 million Russians. When they took over China, they had to exterminate 50 million Chinese. When they took over North Korea, it meant they had to kill 3 million North Koreans. In America, they say, when we take over America, we'll have to kill at least 1 out of every 3 Americans because they're contaminated with Christianity or capitalism. Listen to what Gus Hall, General Secretary of the Communist Party USA, stated in 1961. And ladies and gentlemen, he is walking free on the streets of America today. Here's what he said. I dream of the hour when the last congressman is strangled to death on the guts of the last preacher. And since the Christians love to sing about the blood, why not give them a little of it? Slit the throats of their children, drag them over the mourner's bench and the pulpit, and allow them to drown in their own blood, and then see whether they enjoy singing these hymns or not. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, when they took over North Korea, they killed every known communist. When they took over Red China, they took men like Watchman Nee, cut his tongue out, cut his ears off, cut his legs off, and they've done that to thousands. There's not a church in China that we know of in existence today. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, the communists say we cannot exist with Christianity. You're just kidding yourself if you think communism and Christianity can exist together. You say, but preacher, the communists today are hollering peace, peace. If you don't understand that, you don't know communism. Communism works like a man driving a hammer to drive a nail. A man doesn't drive a hammer down all the time. Half his time is spent in raising the hammer in order that he may drive down again. And when people see communists with their hammer raised, hollering, peace, peace, they do not realize that it's in order that they may drive the death blow the next time. And right now, all over the world, communists are hollering, peace, peace, because they're getting ready to drive the death blow to every Christian in the world today. And there's another thing you need to know about these communists. When they take over America, they can use methods that Christians cannot. You and I can only plead with people to be saved. We can only urge them to get right with God. We can only urge you to come to church. But when the communists take over, this is the way they operate. Their 15-minute program requires this. They say, in 15 minutes, we can control America. And right now, there are more communists in America than there were when they took over Russia. After that 15 minutes, when they assassinate the president and the governors and the mayors of the city and every major leader, they'll take over the government of America. Everything will be about the same for 2 weeks. After that time, they'll drive up to your door, give you stacks and stacks of paper, and say, we want you to write your biography from the time you were 5 years of age till this present time. You say, I don't want to. If you refuse to do so, that's grounds for getting shot. You're expected to write everything you've done since the day you're 5 years of age. They required everybody in Russia to do that, in China, in Cuba, in Romania, and they will in America when they take over this country. After that, for about a few weeks, nothing happens. Then they look over your biography. You say, I'll not tell everything. Your neighbor's expected to write his biography. And if he tells something in there about you that you didn't tell, that's grounds for you to be exterminated. After they've looked over all their papers and they find out that millions and the tens of millions and hundreds that are millions that shall be executed, they wait until the middle of the night. And at the middle of the night, they knock on your door. And if you do not answer, they break the door down and take you out for torture and then for execution. And the communists say, we're not like Hitler. Hitler kills you outright, but we want to torture you until there's nothing left of torture, and then we'll execute you. We delight to see you tortured. When they took over China, many people who were fat, they cut big hunks out of their flesh and poured salt in that they might watch them squirm. Many Chinese, they took them and tied their hands behind their back, swung them up to the ceiling all night long. You say that would kill a person. No, but it'll torture them so that you wish you could die. And one fellow said, night after night, we took hundreds and thousands and took them to the river and drowned them. He said, we'd haul them 120 to a truck. And what we did when we broke into a house, we'd take the man, tie his hands behind his back, and tie a rope from his hands around his neck so that if he moved in any way, he'd strangle to death. And said, we delivered them night after night until hundreds and millions were destroyed. Any torture is permissible under communist domination. For example, in Red China, they took an old farmer. They required his children to tie ropes under his arms and to string the rope up to a limb of a tree. And then they made him put a pitchfork down under the old man. And then they required them to drop him on the pitchfork and lift him back up again and drop him again until he was tortured to death. And all the time, the children were expected to laugh and make fun while it was being done. You say, preacher, I'd die rather than do this. I'd commit suicide. If you're marked to die and you go ahead and take your life, they'll kill your wife. And if you die and your wife dies, they'll kill your children. They're dead set on being bloodthirsty. They're what the Bible said, men that are fierce. They have no respect for God. They're cruel in their treatment. When they took over Russia, many times they'd take people in sub-zero weather, take all the clothes off and make them stand outside. As they shivered and shook, they said, would you like to be heated up? And they say, yes. And they build a fire under you until you're about roast. And the Russians always have a doctor around when they're torturing you. They say, we want to torture you, but we don't want to kill you. And Richard Wurmbrand tells of being put in a cold, refrigerated room until they were within 2 minutes of death. And then he said the communists would pull us out and then put us back and pull us out and put us in, torturing us within 2 minutes of death time and time again. In China, one man tells of being put in jail in solitary confinement for 110 days. And he said he wasn't allowed to sleep. When he'd try to sleep, a guard would punch him awake. And they kept guards around him 24 hours at a time, making sure that he stayed awake. Ladies and gentlemen, these are the kind of enemies that we come up to. And Richard Wurmbrand said many times, 17 hours at a time, we went through brainwashing such as this. We were brought into a room and required to sit on hard benches from 5 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock that night. While a narrator said, communism is good. Communism is good. Communism is good. Christianity is stupid. Christianity is stupid. Christianity is stupid. Give up. Give up. Give up. Communism is good. Communism is good. Communism is good. Christianity is stupid. Christianity is stupid. Christianity is stupid. Give up. Give up. Give up. Communism is good. Over and over for 17 hours at a time. And you dare not move or you'd be kicked and tortured while it was being done. Richard Wurmbrand said, I have seen Christians required to eat their own excrement and drink their own urine. He said, I have seen Christians where they put a funnel in their mouth and pour water till their stomach bulged out, and then they kicked them in the stomach. He said, I've seen Christians tied to crosses and crosses laid across the floor, and other Christians were required to do their bodily necessities on the faces of these Christians, and then the crosses were raised in the air. And the communists would say, look at your Jesus. Look what pleasant odors he brings. Isn't he a wonderful Savior? They tell us in China, a man was shot. His brains fell out. And they required the other victims to eat his brains. Oh, you say, how can people be so horrible? They're devil-possessed because they're controlled by Satan himself. Ladies and gentlemen, these things are happening in the world today, and they're dead set to see that they happen in America. You say, but preacher, they can never happen in America. You haven't been listening to folks lately, have you? Did you not read what J. Edgar Hoover has repeatedly said? He said, we are at war with communism. And the sooner every red-blooded American realizes this, the safer we will be. Listen to a statement by William Zoster, chairman of the Communist Party in America. He said, no communist, no matter how many votes he should ever secure in a national election, could, even if he would, become president of the United States. You say, I'm glad of that. No, you haven't heard me out yet. He said, when a communist heads a government in America, and that day will come, just as surely as the sun rises, that government will not be a capitalistic government, but a Soviet government. And behind this government will stand the Red Army to enforce the dictatorship of the proletariat. Do you not hear, have you not heard what Senator Dodd of Connecticut said in 1961? Notice the date. He said, last year I was privileged to speak in the city of Paris. And at that time, I said if there were another 15 years like the last 15 years, there would be no more free world left to defend. In the light of what has happened over the intervening 8 months since I made that observation in Paris, I feel compelled to revise that timetable. I do not believe we have 15 years left. Note the time, 1961. The next 5 years will contain a series of decisive battles which will determine for centuries to come whether mankind's to live in freedom or live in slavery. Man, we have no more time to lose, no ground to give, no margin for error. I preached this in a Bible conference 7 months ago in Hurricane Baptist Church. Evangelist Ed Korn said, preacher, I heard a man who was an FBI agent in the White House, in Truman's day, in Eisenhower's day, in Kennedy's day, say that at the outmost, we have 4 more years left before the communists take over America. A few months ago, I was in a revival in Charlotte, North Carolina. I saw a man I'd not seen for 20 years. He was on our farm in South Georgia as a displaced person from Latvia at that time. When I saw him a few months back, he said, preacher, I'm disturbed about your country. I see the same thing happening in America today that I saw happen before the communists took over our country. Richard Wurmbrand said, I am disturbed about America. I weep more over America than I did over Romania. He said, Romania's already lost its independence. It's like a dead child, and you can get over that after a year or two. But he said, I see America dying and the young people listening to the lies of the communists, and I weep more over America than I did because she is still dying. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, the communists are on the run. We have 4 years at the most to get right with God. What will you do about it? You can say, well, preacher, nothing's going to happen. You're just somebody that's hollering in the dark, hollering wolf, wolf, when there's no wolf around. Ladies and gentlemen, in 4 or 5 years, you may see. In 4 or 5 years, you'll find out whether we're just hollering wolf, wolf. You say, well, preacher, what can we do about it? The only answer is found in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin. I will heal their land, saith the Lord God. God said, Jeremiah, the only reason I'm going to have to destroy America or destroy Israel is nobody lays at the heart. Since when have you listened to a message from a man of God? Since when did you go to church and lay to heart the things that God said through the preacher? Ladies and gentlemen, God never has destroyed any nation unless he told his preachers about it. How many of you in the last 3 or 4 years have heard preacher after preacher after preacher say, repent or perish? Where do we get that kind of message? From no other than the Lord God himself. Ladies and gentlemen, you will weep sometime. You'll either weep before God now, or you'll weep before God when the communists take over America. Now is the time for sackcloth and ashes. Joel said to the people of his day, let the bridegroom mourn. Let the bride mourn. Let the grape gatherers mourn. Let the ministers mourn. Let everybody be clothed in sackcloth and ashes. Ladies and gentlemen, if you and I will stand before God in sackcloth and ashes, humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face, He will heal the land. He will spare this country. But if you're not willing to serve God now, you'll not take your stand for God now. When the communists take over, it'll be too late to try to take a stand for God. I beg you right now to take your stand for God. I want to use this final illustration. In a little country church in Russia, when the communists overran the country, they stood at the door and cut the head off of every member of that church as they came out. Finally, a little boy started out the door. And as he did, one of the Russian soldiers said, little boy, you're too young to die. Here's a picture of Jesus. If you'll smash this into the concrete, we'll let you go free. The little boy looked at the picture. Then he looked up into the heavens and said, Lord Jesus, once you died for me, now I'm willing to die for you. He stepped forward and they cut his head off. Ladies and gentlemen, why could he go so willingly to the sword that day? Because he had stood for Jesus before then. Oh, if you intend to stand before God and for God when the communists come, then stand for him now. And ladies and gentlemen, if we'll stand for God now, then the horsemen will not take over this country. I beg you to come in sackcloth and ashes right now, right by your stereo. Why not get on your knees and ask God to help you stand in the gap and stay before God till He spares this country? Would you not join me as we pray and unite our hearts together, crying out for God to spare America? Our Father, we pray that You'll take this message and sink it into every heart. May every one of us cry out unto You until America is brought back to You. Help us to get in our churches faithfully, actively serving You as never before until this land has fallen at the feet of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.